Okay, let's get started.
Oh, wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 23 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, Shelton Muller. How are you?
G'day, Bruce. I'm really well. How about yourself?
Excellent. Thank you. What's
new?
It's
good. After I finish here, I have to head into the Melbourne Motor Show. I'm going to do some...
Nice.
Yeah. Go and check out all the cars I can't afford. And working with Kodak in conjunction with Holden. And of course, for our listeners overseas, Holden are sort of a generic car manufacturer here. They used to be they're sort of a General Motors car manufacturer here, make great cars.
Yep.
And I'm just doing some photography in there. So and apart from that, it's the same old, same old. I'm on deadline for Total Image magazine, getting, of course, the Argentina photo tour organized.
Yep. Yep.
And we're getting lots of bookings for that, which is great.
Cool.
So, it's all on here at the ranch. And what about you?
Keeping busy. Listen, while you're at the Motor Show, you've got to go and check out the Mazda 6 MPS.
Mazda 6 MPS. Writing that down as we speak.
The,
okay.
The MPS is the Mazda Performance Series.
Mm.
And the 6 is the first in the MPS range that they've brought into Australia. Basically, it's a 2.3-litre four-cylinder turbocharged.
Right.
Mazda 6. So basically, it's a bit of an Impreza crusher.
Mm.
It's very nice car. I took one out for a spin in November. It was gorgeous.
I'll go and take a picture. That's about the closest I'll be able to get, to actually holding it in my hand, I think.
Yeah. Okie dokie. So this week, I think we're talking about sharpness and detail. Is that right?
Well, as a result of an email we got from Bob, who lives in Palm Springs, California. Thanks for that, Bob. And of course, it always makes my life easy to know what listeners want to hear. Bob's question is, and I'll read it almost word for word, he says that he sees a lot of portrait photos in magazines where every pore and hair is visible, and that he has a Canon 1DS Mark II. And as he says, that's a 16.7 megapixel camera. That's crazy. But, so he knows that he has the sensor to pick up the information, but he just doesn't know how to get the effect. Is it the lighting? Do I need a macro lens, to get that sort of detail in the shot? And it's a very good question because, yes, most certainly you have a sensor that will pick up that information. To be quite honest with you, I have a 6-megapixel SLR. Well, actually, now I have a 10-megapixel SLR because I've got myself a D200.
Ooh.
But, it's a great camera. But anyway, another day on that. even I must admit, the effect that you're after, Bob, I've achieved with far less megapixels than you have. It's not really about pixels. It's not even really about, in the film days, so much about film size. You could do it with a 35mm camera just like you could a 6x7 centimeter tranny or a 4x5 inch or 8x10. It's not really about the size of the sensor or the amount of the size of the film or whatever. Sharpness has a lot to do with a lot of other factors that are involved in taking the picture. So let's discuss them. Let's first of all talk digital, because that's the nature of your question. Digital is a different media altogether to film, and because of the nature of pixels, what often happens is we open up our image on the monitor, and it looks very smooth. Even our prints, when we make prints, if we make a print directly from a digital image without doing anything to it, straight out of the camera, it's sharp, but it tends to look very smooth. So what I do with all my images pretty well whenever I'm, all my digital images, is I put them through a Photoshop process of unsharp masking. I just have that set as an action, and as I, transfer the images, they immediately go through an unsharp mask. I have mine set to 100, 2, and 0. If you go into your sharpness, your threshold, and your radius in Photoshop, but that's my preference. You'll probably find your own. I would suggest that that be one of the things that you do to all your digital images. Go through either an unsharp mask process, or there are other ways of sharpening your images that you may prefer. But that is certainly something I would suggest. You ask whether it's perhaps the lens. Do I need a macro lens? Macro lenses are sharp, but really any good lens that you have, especially if you've got a Canon and you're using Canon lenses, they're sharp too. So it's more to it than that. I would, of course, always, if you're going to do portrait work, I'd prefer that you use a prime lens like an 85 or a 100 or a 105 or whatever lens you might have. You might have a 105 or 100 mil-ish macro, and they're fabulous. But any of these quality lenses will be able to pick up the kind of detail that you're after. So yes, you need a quality lens. If you are using one of the sort of the generic zooms that often comes with the lower end digital SLRs, which doesn't apply to you, but can in terms of say the Canon 10D or 20D, there were a lot of sort of stock standard 18 to 50, 18 to 70 sort of lenses. Some of them are better than others. I have used the Canon one and haven't been particularly impressed with it. So if that's the lens you're using, you will have a little bit of a problem. But there's a little bit more to it than that. Depth of field is one thing, of course. I've often said on this program that I love my 85mm 1.8 and I use it most of the time at 1.8. I find that at that length, at that focal length, and with that depth of, or with that aperture, I still get incredible sharpness, provided that I've focused correctly. And I usually focus on the eyes, of course, and I'll find that if I zoom in on the eyes, it's pin sharp. And I like minimal depth of field. But for a portrait like the kind you're talking about, you probably want to actually stop down and use studio lighting. And we're going to get to lighting in a minute too, because that's important. But if you stop down to its smallest aperture, and then come back maybe one or two stops from that, you'll probably find that that is the sharpest aperture in the lens. Usually it's around the f11, f16 mark, depending on the nature of the lens. But if, say, your lens stops down to 22 or 32, you'd set it at 16 or 11, and that you'd find would be your sharpest aperture. Set your lighting up accordingly, and you'll have an incredibly sharp picture. The other thing, of course, is lighting. You ask in your email, Bob, is it in the lighting? It most definitely is. Lighting is incredibly important for sharpness because light needs to pick up detail, which then renders on your sensor. And if you've lit your subject in such a way that it doesn't, run across the texture of your subject, then you will lose a certain concept or idea of sharpness that you could otherwise get. There's different kinds of lighting, and that's a whole different kettle of fish, but let's just run through them again. Often if you're using studio lighting, you're going to diffuse the light somewhat. You might use a softbox, a brolly, you might use a scrim, you might reflect the light off a reflector or a wall or a ceiling. And immediately what you've done is thrown the light around the room a little bit. You've diffused the light so that it creates less contrast in the shadows and spreads the light out beautifully and evenly across the face. But at the same time, you have removed the specularity, if that's a word, of the light, so that it doesn't necessarily pick up the kind of detail you're talking about to the same degree. And a balance needs to sometimes be found. You'll find perhaps that you may get a little more sort of detail if you use a silver umbrella than if you use a large softbox. However, it can vary also on the placement of your light. So we'll talk about that in a second. If you turn your light around to the side of your subject, and this could be a person's face, or it could be wood texture, it could be any of these things, what happens is the light runs across the plane and creates shadow. So let's say, for instance, we're photographing a plank of old wood, and it's worn and the grain is very evident. It could be a fence paling or whatever. If your light runs across the film plane and across the subject, you're creating highlights and shadows, which in a two-dimensional image always give the perception of sharpness because, of course, you're getting greater detail. The same applies, of course, if you're lighting a portrait. If you want to create the idea of sharpness and you want facial, hair and pores and things to stand out, light in such a way that the light falls to some degree, and there are so many variables here because you want to light your subject in a complementary way, but if you can light it in such a way that the light actually also falls across and is not so soft so as to be so diffused that it loses detail, you'll also get a balance there as well. You'll also notice a lot more detail if you just ran a flash head or a straight flash off to the side without diffusion, as against, say, putting it in front or putting a brolly or a softbox or some sort of diffuser in front of it. So There are many variables in that, and we can talk about that another time. So the combination of all these things is often what gives the kind of portrait that you're talking about, or the kind of sharpness that you're talking about. Let's run through them again so that we can put them all together and create the kind of sharpness that you want. First of all, digital images can tend to be somewhat smooth. Even scanned transparencies and negatives can tend to appear somewhat smooth, even though they're sharp. So you can run a sharpness program such as Unsharp Masking, which I highly recommend, through a program like Photoshop, for instance. The lens. Your lens must be perfectly clean. We didn't mention that before, but make sure it's clean. Make sure it's a high-quality piece of glass, and preferably for portraits and for, you know, high detail work, a prime lens would be my preference, such as an 85 or a 100, or like you say, Bob, a macro lens. Your depth of field is important. Make sure you've got enough depth of field to cover the area or the depth that you want to be sharp. And of course, your aperture is important too. So there's your combinations thus far. Now, again, combine that with your lighting, to the kind of light where it could be perhaps even hard and specular. There's no problem with lighting a portrait, especially if it's a man's face and he's got a beard, or he might have a very, you know, rough skin. He might be an older man with years of lines and life on his face. There's no problem lighting his portrait without a diffuser. You could light it with a straight flash head, just, you know, straight out of the barrel, and get a very hard and sharp portrait. You needn't do that, but you'll find that some methods of diffusion are actually sharper or reveal more detail than others, and that's a matter for you to experiment with. But Bob, I'd appreciate it if you'd get back to me after having tried this combination of things and let me know if my answers have worked for you. If they haven't, well, we're going to have to look at your pictures, mate, and see what you're doing wrong.
Fantastic. That's a great one.
Hope that helps, mate. But these are things that all of us can apply, not only in portrait photography, like Bob says, Bruce, but in everyday photography. If you think in terms of, especially if we're, what Bob is really asking is texture. How do I get texture revealed in my image? And really, they are a combination of the right kind of light, which is usually some form of side lighting that is fairly hard, but not outrightly hard, and lens sharpness, and of course, digital sharpness. Mm. Try those things and let me know how you go, Bob.
All right. Another plug for the Argentina tour?
Yes, we're continuing to book people for our Argentina photo tour. We'd love some people with different accents to come along. So if you're listening to this in the United States or in Canada or in England or Great Britain, we'd love you to come along because, you know, we like people who talk like this. And we also like people who talk like this, you know. So it could be anybody. If you want to come, you're more than welcome. We've already got enough people who talk like this. So, you know, we'd really like you to come along. It's a great way to learn photography. It's a great way to travel. And it's an incredible experience. So if you go to, of course, the audiotu.com website, you'll be able to download a PDF which has the itinerary and, of course, booking forms necessary.
Fantastic. I'm actually going over to that part of the world a bit later. Kath and Max and I are going to take a month off at Christmas and we're going to Mexico.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. You're going to have to, you'll come back with all the information for our future Shutters Inc. So I would preview.
I'm hanging out.
That'll be fabulous. You're going to, of course, take your 7D, shoot like crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to have to, I think, get a wide-angle lens before I go because at the moment the shortest length I've got is 28mm and that's just not wide enough.
Might I suggest, and I have one personally, the Tamron 11-18.
Yeah?
An excellent lens, very good price. I used it in China, took one to China with me, and it is a fabulous piece of glass.
Yeah, it's a question of just coming up with the $800 beforehand, you know?
Yeah, that's right. But you know,
that will definitely be on my shopping list. Maybe I'll just drop some hints for my birthday.
An entrepreneurial podcaster like you, mate, should be rolling it.
Yeah, maybe we'll get onto the local distributor and go, hey, can we try out this lens for a month?
not a bad idea.
Some way I'll get hold of a lens like that before I go, because I think I'd be shooting myself in the foot if I went without a decent wide-angle lens.
So. Yeah. If, of course, our listeners have other recommendations, I'm sure Bruce would be happy to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
And obviously, I'm looking for something that's compatible with the Konica Minolta mount, so...
Yes.
You know, and I don't mind if it's not a Konica Minolta lens, as Shelton suggested. The Tamron is good. I mean, I had I still have a Tamron 28-200 from my old analog kit, but I just don't use it anymore.
No.
But yeah, it's a great lens.
Yeah, and very sharp. Well, the 11-18 was a real good, created some great photographs for me, and I used it a lot for portrait, for everything from portraiture to landscape, believe it or not. So wow. it was really, really great. In fact, just as a matter of interest, I will post some of the images. We'll post some of the images on the website on your website if you don't mind that I use this lens on.
Please,
you can check them out.
Awesome.
I'll get them to you.
Now, what was it you did? Tamworth, of course. Have you got any photos from Tamworth you want to put up?
Yes, I can do a couple of photographs from Tamworth. I did some portraits of some of the street performers and things, so I'll send some of those as well.
Fantastic.
No worries.
All right, Shelton, thank you for that.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bruce, and thank you again to all our listeners.
And just as a side note, for people that listen to both Shutter Zinc and Happy Snaps, we're actually going to stop doing Happy Snaps on a weekly basis. Shelton and I have had a bit of a chat about this and decided that it's getting a bit thin on the ground for topics, so we're just going to focus mainly on, no pun intended, focus on Shutter Zinc for now. And yes.
When we have an epiphany, we'll come back to Happy Snaps. But
absolutely.
For the moment, we think we got you covered.
Exactly, yeah. And we can cover some of the less advanced photography tips in this forum as much as we can in Happy Snaps. So.
Absolutely.
Alrighty, that should do it. All right, mate, we'll talk with you next week.
Looking forward to it, mate. Thanks again.
See you, Shelton.
See you soon.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Audio2U delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear
when you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
audio2u.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark
audio2u.com.